What a message. What a message. Makes me want to preach on heaven. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I hope you are. I know I am. And I hope you are. Now, you can know you are. Amen. You can know that you're going to heaven. There has to be no doubt about it. You can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're heaven bound. Like old Mays Jackson used to say, I am heaven bound with the hammer down. Amen. Amen. Brother Mays. Well, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad that Jesus has provided the way. And eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Aren't you glad for heaven? I'm so thankful for heaven. I don't know all there is to know about heaven. I don't. I've studied it. I've read about it. I've looked into God's word. I've meditated on it. And just what I know about it, and I think it's just really a drop, like a drop in the ocean of my knowledge of heaven. It just makes me yearn to be there. I mean, I have a yearning in my soul to be with Jesus in heaven. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is where heaven is. Amen. Where Jesus is. That's right. And I'm thankful for that. Well, Thomas, you know, he was a doubter. And he said, Lord, we know not where thou goest. Neither know we the way. I'm so thankful that Thomas manned up. You know, if he'd been like most men, we'd have been waiting on someone else. Maybe the rest of the disciples were waiting on someone else to say, I don't know. Tell us. But Thomas manned up and said, Lord, we don't know. Tell us. And he said, I am the way. Jesus said, I'm it. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you do, just as sure as you're sitting under the sound of my voice today, you're going to heaven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to heaven. Now, you can, but you're not in the state that you're in. You have to be born again. It is an absolute necessity. Being saved is an option, but now if you want to go to heaven, it's mandatory. That's right. It is an absolute necessity to be saved in order to get to heaven. It's the only way to get there. And I trust that you know Jesus as your Savior. You have your Bible open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to talk more about the second coming. We were not this morning, but in as we go through 1 Thessalonians, it's a letter that really discusses the second coming of Jesus Christ. As you study how Paul went to this province and as he started this church, we see in chapter 1, someone said this, that in chapter 1 we see Paul the evangelist, and in chapter 2 we see Paul the pastor. And Paul was both. He was a pastor, he was an evangelist, he was a missionary. He was just a man of God. He was a church planner. He just had a heart for the things of God. And when you read chapter 1, it's almost like a big exclamation mark. Notice he said in verse number 4, he talked about being saved. He was so glad, these people in chapter 1, verse number 4, he said, I am so glad, brethren beloved, that of your election of God. I'm glad that you're saved. And you can just hear the enthusiasm in Paul's voice. Then you get down in verse number 6, and he said, I'm glad that you were surrendered, your followers. And he said, my, how good it is to see a people of unity coming together for a common cause, the work of God, the kingdom of God. And he said, your followers, not only of us, but of the Lord. And the next phrase here is one we're going to pick up on. Look at chapter 1, verse 6. Having received the word. Brethren, that's the secret. Not just to getting saved now. That's the secret. Receiving the word. You say, well, I received it. Now, to have a copy doesn't mean you received it. Receiving the word is so important. And because they did, well, they're saved. And because they had received the word, notice what follows after they had received the word. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, much affliction. You see, when you receive the Bible, when I receive the word, when we take in the word of God, when we begin to make application and practice the word of God, it's going to change our lives. And when it changes our lives, it's going to cause us to be persecuted and to suffer affliction. For all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then he said in verse number 7, he said, you are examples that, you know, people just looked at your life and they said, wow, look at them people. What a changed people. Look at them. They've come together and they're excited. He even said that in verse number 8. He said, for from you sounded out. Why? Because they received the word. You can't receive God's word without getting excited. Amen. There's no way that you can take in God's word into your soul without it wanting just to come out. Praise and thanksgiving and sharing the word of God. And so when we find ourselves lethargic, apathetic, ungrateful, unfaithful, it's because we're not getting in the word and the word's not getting into us. You show me someone that is inconsistent, unfaithful, unthankful, and I'll show you someone that has set their Bible down and has quit getting in the word and has not allowed the word to get in them. That's so, brethren. And so Paul said, I'm writing unto you because you're receiving the word and you took it in and it's made a change in your life. It's made a difference in your life. And it's literally just set you on fire for God. Sounds evangelistic, doesn't it? And he said, not only that, but you're expecting, in verse number 10, he said, and to wait for his son from heaven. He said, you're expecting Jesus to come again. You're not just talking about it. That word wait means wait up. You're expecting him to come. It's not just something you're talking about or studying or some doctrine that you've accepted or something you put in your church creed or constitution. He said, you're expecting it. But then he moves to chapter 2 and he changes gears a little bit, but he stays at the same pitch. He says, you know, when I was among you, in verse number 2, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. Now, I believe Paul's talking about his missionary team, and if you'll go back to chapter 1, verse number 1, it was Paul, Silvanus, that's Silas, Timotheus, Timothy. And he uses the word we and us, and I believe he's referring to all of them. Of course, Paul was the leader. He spearheaded this. God was using all of the men, but he was using Paul as the leader of this missionary team to do a work here in Thessalonica. And as he reflected back and he looked over how God used them, he said, their entrance, our entrance in unto you. And he said, you know, he said, when we came in, our time was limited, but our message was sure. We had a work to do, and you opened up to us. It goes back to verse number 6 of chapter 1. You received the word. Brethren, I'm telling you, good things happen when people receive the word. God help me to be a receiver. Can I tell you one of the things that happens when you receive the word? There's many, many good things that happen when we receive the word. In verse number 6 of chapter 1, I want you to underline that, having received the word, and then go back and underline this and sound it out. They transmitted. See, they took it in, they received it, and then they sounded it out. You can't help but do that. Listen, it should be intentional, but even if it's not, it's going to happen. When you take in, when I take in God's word, I can't help but sound it out. I can't help. God's word can't stay shut up in your bones. Amen. It just can't. That's why I know when there's fire in my bosom, when there's excitement in my walk, when there is focus in my walk with God and in my intention, it's because I am receiving the word. When I am not receiving the word, when I'm just lethargic about it, a little lazy with it. You know, Paul wrote about that. He said, as he wrote to the book, to those believers In the book of Hebrews, he said, you have become dull of hearing. In other words, you're really just kind of accepting, but you're not receiving it in your heart. You're accepting it in your ear, but you're not receiving it in your heart. You're kind of lazy listeners. And brethren, we don't want to become that, do we? But you know what? There's an enemy that's trying to get us to become that. Because he knows if he can forbid us and somehow he can block us from receiving God's word, not just through our ear, but down into our heart to where we want to obey it and practice it, well, then he's got us. He's got us. Because I cannot live the Christian life without the word of God. Amen. I can't do it. I can attempt to do it. I can put forth a fleshly effort to do it. But if I am not receiving the word and allowing it to become practical in my life through obedience, brethren, I'm going to fail every time. Yeah. I'm going to fail. I'm going to get into a place that I don't need to be. I'm not going to be in the place that God desires me to be. This thing of the Christian life is lived in accordance to the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and not according to my will, according to my flesh. And God help me to remember this. God help me to keep this in mind. It's not done through my will, nor through my energy, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You see. And so Paul in chapter number 2 says this. He says, and he draws them three pictures. He says, you know, when we came in unto you, we came in to minister God's word, and you received it, and you were born again, you were elect, you got saved. But our work was not done then. You know, I'm thankful for those that have gotten saved recently. There's a couple of young ladies, a few young men in our congregation that got saved recently. I'm glad for the young lady who stood in the youth group last week and said, I received Jesus as my Savior Sunday night. We had a young lady last Sunday morning, she's back today, who said, I received Jesus as my personal Savior. Amen. We've had some children. I'm glad for some of the children that have gotten saved. That is wonderful to hear that people are getting saved. Can I tell you, brethren, the power, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. And the same gospel that has changed your life and changed these most recently in our congregation, their lives, it changed these folks' life. It was working then. Can I tell you, it's working now? Amen. It's the gospel, brethren. It's the gospel. And it just changes. But now it doesn't, that's not where it ends now. You don't get saved and say, well, that's it, I'm going to heaven. Well, you are going to heaven, but that's not it. God has a purpose for you here on this earth. And so the Apostle Paul began to talk about his discipleship ministry. And as a pastor, and you as a Christian, especially if you're a Christian worker, you're called to preach or teach or to work with people in the local church, I want you to listen carefully as the Apostle Paul lays out three pictures of what he and the missionary team were to those believers in Thessalonica as they took them under their wing and began to nurture them and pasture them and began to help them in their maturity and development and their growth in the Christian faith. The first thing that he said, you know, you can't quit. Now, you will get discouraged. There's probably, if you've been saved any length of time, you've gotten discouraged in your Christian life. And the Apostle Paul said, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to get down some. There's going to be low times in your experience. Notice what he said in verse number 2. He said, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know. By the way, I would encourage you, underline that phrase. It's used three times here in chapter 2. He used it again back in chapter 1, verse number 5. Notice in chapter 1, verse number 5, he said right in the middle, as you know what manner of men we were among you. He uses that phrase a lot, as ye know. Here it is in chapter 2, in verse number 2. He said, but we were shamefully entreated, as ye know. He said it in verse number 5. Look in the middle of verse number 5. As ye know, neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know. Look at verse number 11. It starts off, as ye know. That phrase is used over and over and over again. The Apostle Paul is calling upon these people and their experience. You know, there's just some things that we ought to know. Amen. There's just some things that we ought to know as believers and not let them slip. And so Paul said, now, we were open and transparent with you. We did not do this by sleight of hand. We're not religious racketeers. We're not religious salesmen and peddlers of something. We are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are workers in the kingdom of God. Amen. And he said, we did it openly, transparently. We have nothing to hide. We're not in some kind of business. Brethren, if it is a business, it's the greatest business in heaven and earth. It's the Father's business. And he said here in chapter number 2, in verse number 2, he said, you know how we were shamefully entreated at Philippi, but we didn't quit. Amen. We didn't quit. We didn't even slow down. We got up and dusted off and kept on going for Jesus. Amen. Can I tell you, there's some times in our lives we're going to have to do this. There's just sometimes you're going to have to pick yourself up by the grace of God, wipe yourself off, and put some things behind you and go on for Jesus. People will disappoint you. They will even attack you. They did it at Philippi. Paul wrote about it. He said, we were shamefully entreated. So please don't think, well, I'm a Christian now, or I'm a preacher, an evangelist, a missionary, a Sunday school teacher. I sing special music or play an instrument, or I'm involved in church work, and so people's going to roll out the red carpet for me. That's just not the case. There's going to be some bad stuff happen to you. You're saying, now, wait a minute, preacher, are you sure you should be teaching this? You might run some people off. Well, you may as well know it's coming. Amen. And Paul said, we've been shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. But watch this. But we were bold in our God to speak. That didn't slow us down. I like that. I like a man with some grit about him. Amen. How about you? I like somebody that says it's going to take more than that. Listen, you might have got me down, but you can't keep me down. A just man falls 7 times, but he's going to get up. Amen. He's going to get up. And he said, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God. Look at this next phrase, with much contention. Boy, I tell you, contention, it's caused so many people to quit, get out of church, stop, turn back. God, give us some strong will, strong in faith, Jesus loving Christ. Listen, Christ honoring, sin hating, sent by God men and women that'll say, I am not going to let that get me down or keep me down. I'm going to serve God with my life. Because you're going to be wronged. We were talking in Sunday school this morning. It is impossible, Jesus said in Luke 17:1, but that offenses will come. It's going to happen. It's just going to happen. And now you've got a choice to make. What am I going to do about it? And so Paul said, you know what happened. And so now here's the first picture he drew. He said, we're stewards. Notice, if you would, verse number 4. In verse number 4, and I'm just going to just kind of give you these pictures. I have a point I want to get to in verse 13. So I'm just going to give you these pictures back and elaborate on them, expand on them in the future. But I hope you'll see the pictures of how we're to minister to people here. Number 1, notice verse number 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. Listen, Paul's drawing a picture here of a steward. You know what a steward is. Now, a steward doesn't own it. A steward is taking what his master has given him, and he is using it for his master's benefit. He's using it to minister others. And Paul said, that's exactly what we are. We're stewards. Brethren, can I tell you? We're stewards. We're stewards. Paul said this. He said, we have been allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Listen, there's nothing greater you can be put in trust with. God has allowed us to be put in trust with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, help us to be good stewards. And Paul said, you know, when we came to you, we remembered this. And so we didn't come to you trying to promote ourselves. Look at what he said. He said in verse number 3, our exhortation was not in deceit, nor in cleanness, nor in guile. Look at verse number 5. Neither at any time used we flattering words. as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. He not only said, as you know, he said, God is witness. You see that? He said, God is a witness. God sees. God's keeping the records, right? Yes. You say, well, preacher, I feel like sometimes that there's more against me than there is for me. Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? See, God's keeping the records. And so he said, the first picture he drew was of a steward. And he said, I want to be a good steward with what God has given me. And God has put us in trust with this work, with this message, with this ministry. And God has a ministry for everyone. What is your ministry? Now, your ministry may not be the Apostle Paul's ministry, may not be the preacher's ministry. But now God's given you a ministry. Make full proof of it. Make full proof of your ministry. What's God called you to do? So, well, God hasn't called me to do anything. No, you haven't answered. God calls all of his children to do something. And he even goes further than that. He equips them with the resources to do it. It's called spiritual gifts. Amen, church? This is the word of God. Now you say, well, that church at Thessalonica, they seem to have some things clicking. They seem to have some things going on. You know why? They received the word. Don't forget chapter 1, verse 5. Having received the word. That got it started. But it didn't end that. So Paul said, you know, when we came in and we were ministering unto you, we did it as stewards. We didn't do it for self-promotion. We didn't do it for self-gain. Right? Notice what Paul said here, if you would. Let me get down here in verse number 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Paul said, hey, you know, we worked and we preached. And we worked and we preached. And we worked and we preached. And there's nothing wrong with that. Many, many of you do it. I've done it. I've worked a job all day long, come home, showered, put some food down, and come to the church house to preach or going out to visit. Listen, there's just, it's work. It's work. And the Apostle Paul said, we did it. We did it. Now, I thank God that the church, I think it was 2014, I lose track of time now, except for Miss Putt's birthday. I keep that pretty at the top. But I'd lose track of some things. But at some point, the church said, hey, Pastor, we want you to be full-time. And I believe God calls people into full-time ministry. Amen. I do. I believe God calls people into full-time ministry. But I know what it is to work. Some of these men, Pastor David, all of our sisters work and minister. And some of you work and minister. You teach Sunday school. I thank God for you. Don't ever use work as an excuse not to be involved in the ministry. Amen. Don't ever use work or recreation or things outside. Now listen, I understand that, and you may not be able to minister on the level of those that are quote-unquote in full-time ministry, but don't ever use it as a reason that you don't minister. Amen. We're all ministers of God. And Paul said, I know what it is. And brethren, I know a little bit about what it is. I've done it. I've worked out in the sun all day long. I'm not pinning roses here. God is my witness too, okay? He said, God is my witness. God's my witness too. And there's times that I was dragging. But God knows my heart. Amen. If I had it to do over, I'd do it all over again. Because I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Is he worthy, church? Is he worthy? Yes, he's worthy. He said, I want to be a good steward. And he said, we were good stewards among you. Look now, if you would, in verse number 7. He changes a little bit. And he said, not only are we good stewards. Now, what is the key requirement in a steward? Somebody just say it out loud. 1 Corinthians 4. Faithful. Faithful. You going to be a good steward? You say, well, I am a good steward. Let me ask you a question. Are you faithful? If you're not faithful, you're not a good steward. And all right, listen, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. They received the word. They received the word. Which means they didn't just welcome it in their ear. They accepted it and obeyed it in their heart. And it made all the difference. And so as a steward, we want to be faithful. Right? Then he switches gears in verse number 7, and he says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us." What a statement. You know, Paul loved people, didn't he? You know what Paul was? You know what the picture is here? Now, the first picture is of a steward, a faithful steward that's taken something that his master has given him to take charge of in his absence and to minister to people with it. He said, "I want to be a faithful steward." But he said this, he said, "I want to be a gentle mother." The word in verse number 7, gentle, is very important in ministry. He said this, he said, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." A nursing mom is the picture here. It's someone, it's a mom who takes that baby and holds that baby in her arms and lies that baby on her breast and says, "I'm nursing you. You're close to my heart. I'm holding you dear to me." And this is the language of the Apostle Paul here. "You're dear to me." I like what he said. He said, not only was it the gospel of God that we imparted to you, but also our own souls. What a statement, brethren. Why would you do that, Paul? Paul, why would you do that? Look at how he ended verse number 8. "Because you were dear unto us." Well, I tell you, when you love people, the cost is never too high to make sacrifices for them. When you love people, you'll go the second mile. Amen? When you love people, you'll do things that you ordinarily would not do. You'll find God giving you the strength to do things outside of yourself. And this is what Paul is saying. So the first picture is of a faithful steward. The second is of a gentle mother. And it's like Paul looked at, "I'm your spiritual, I beget you in the faith. I gave you, I brought unto you the message of hope and life. And I'm not going to just leave you to yourself. No good mother just leaves their children to theirself." And so he said, I was there and I nursed you into to health and to development and to strength and to success. I want you to notice the key word in verse number 8. "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted." In other words, the Apostle Paul, the picture here is of a nursing mom who takes in, and then through what she takes in here, she gives out through as she nurses to her child, as what she takes in directly affects what her child takes in. And the Apostle Paul said, "That's how I was affectionately desirous unto you. I imparted unto you. I was watching my steps. I was watching my words." A wise parent will watch their steps. They will watch their words. They will be cautious of how they act in front of their children, knowing that it will directly affect the behavior and the growth and development of their child. And the Apostle Paul said that as a leader. He said, "I realize," and he goes back again to verse number 6, and he said, "I realize of chapter 1 that you were followers of us. And so I wanted to be very cautious about how I walked in your presence." I think it's a wonderful picture. Christians, can I encourage you as your pastor, be cautious of how you live your life, what you say, what you do, where you go, how you act. Your behavior toward the things of God and the way you approach the things of God, people are watching. In particular, the people within the four walls of your home, but even on the exterior of that, people are watching Christians. You say, "I don't want them to watch me." Too late now. If you told them you was a Christian, they're watching you. And so he said, not only were we faithful stewards, but we were mothers. As a steward, the key word is faithful. As a mother, the key word is gentle. Do you see it in verse number 7? We were gentle among you. Gentle. I was talking with a family last week, and we were talking about child discipline. And the dad said, I feel like the bad guy. He said, Mama just always says, wait till your dad gets on. And I said, well, you know what? Sometimes you just have to be the bad guy. You just have to be the bad guy. They might not like you then. Do we have any people in the church house this morning that could say, you know, there was a time I thought my mother was mean. I thought my grandmother was mean. I even questioned, did they really love me? But now that I am where I am in life, I look back and I say, those are some of the greatest women that God put in on this earth. Do I have anybody in here like that with me that could say, you know what, I look back over my life and I see where these people, they loved me because they were hard on me, because they wanted me to do what was right. And when Paul uses the word gentle here, please don't think that word means weak. It's not. It comes from where we get the word meekness, which is power under control. Gentle. Then the next thing he mentioned, verses 9 through 12, he said that you remember our labor, and we talked about that in verse number 10, you're witnesses, and God also. Again, he's calling them to witness. You're witnesses, and God also, he said, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves. Why? He said, because you're watching us. You're listening. You're watching. And so we lived a certain way. Yes, God's listening too. God's witness too. Is that what he said? You're witnesses, verse number 10. God also. You're watching, but God's watching too. And he said in verse number 10, how we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know, how we exhorted you and comforted you and charged every one of you. Now watch this now, as a father. Now here's the third picture before we get to our final truth. Paul said, you know, you're a steward. And as a steward, he said, we were faithful among you. We were stewards. We've been allowed of God to be put in trust with this ministry, this gospel. And then he said, as a mother, we're gentle. But we're nursing and we're nourishing you. And we're providing there, and we're giving you the nourishment and the nurture that you need. You know, can I tell you, every child needs his mother. Every Christian needs someone to disciple them. You need that. I don't need the church. Yes, you do too. Oh, yes, you do. Please don't you ever believe that lie of the devil. You do need the church. Now, the church needs you. It's a two-way street. But we all need others. We all need people. We all need spiritual fathers to help us and to groom us. Amen. Amen. Where would we be without our teachers? Where would we be? Not only do we need mothers, teachers, we need fathers. I want you to notice this. The word here, the word for steward, I think is faithful. We ought to be faithful stewards. The word for mothers is gentle. I think it's the word here for fathers is needful. You know, a father may not give you what you want, but he's going to give you what you need. A good father will. Notice what Paul says here. He says in verse number 11, as you know, he's asking them again to call upon their experience. As you know, how we exhorted. You know what that word means? It means encourage you. It's like he walked up and put his arm around them and said, listen, I know it's tough sledding now, but it's going to get better. I know you took a little hit there, but God's going to help you through this. If you need me, call me. That's what a concerned father does, amen? If you need me, son, call me. I'm here. If you need to talk to somebody, let's talk. Right? That's what Paul's doing. You see what he's doing? He's ministering, he's pastoring, he's overseeing, he's helping these people. It's not all about excitement and enthusiasm. Thank God for it. Amen. Thank God for it. Thank God for sounding out and getting excited and getting the word out and rejoicing and kicking up your heels and shouting the victory. But there's going to be some times of discouragement. And that's where you need a good, concerned, godly, spiritual father, somebody to come and put their arm around you and say, you know what? I'm praying for you. I'm thinking of you. And if you need to talk about this, let's talk. Amen. He used the word, look at it there again in verse number 11. As you know how we exhorted. Well, we all need exhortation. We all need exhortation. But now notice the next word he uses. We comforted. That word is very akin to the word exhorted. It just means this. Exhortation will make you feel better. But the word comforted has the word of, now do better. I'm not just helping you to feel better so you'll feel better. I'm helping you to feel better so you will go forward and do better. It's encouragement with activity involved. Look the word up. It's very interesting. See, this is what fathers do. And Paul said, I did this, if you'll notice in verse number 11, as a father doeth his children. There's one more word in that verse. It's charged. I love when I was just looking up this word. My time's about up, but listen to me. When I was looking up this word, I love that Paul used this word. You know what Paul does here? Paul began to tell them his experiences. You think Paul has some experiences to draw from? You think these folks have been through some things that Paul hadn't been through? I doubt it. You look back in 2 Corinthians, you look back in Galatians, you look back at some of the things that Paul had encountered in life, and you see some of the things that God allowed him to go through, and he wrote into those Corinthians, he said, you know why God allows you to go through some trouble? So he could comfort you. And so you could take that comfort that he's comforted you in your trouble, and you can comfort others when they're in trouble. Is that what he said? It is. And that's what that word charge means. Look at it again there in verse number 11. He says, as you know how we exhorted, we come up beside you and put our arm around you and said, God's going to help you. This is going to work out. And we comforted. Now you go and you continue to serve God. Don't you give up on God. We comforted you that there's a path ahead that God has for you. And we charge every one of you as a father doeth his child. You know what a father does? I've been down that road, son. I've been down that road. I've been a little further down the road than you have. And I've seen some things that you haven't seen yet. Or I've seen what you are seeing right now. And let me tell you how God helped me. And the God that helped me will help you too. Amen. Now, brethren, that's pastoring. That's mentoring. That's discipling. And so in chapter 1, Paul was the evangelist and he was saying, glad you're saved, and boy, I'm glad you're excited. I'm glad you're sounding it out, and I'm glad that you're just on fire and waiting for Jesus to come. But then he said, you know, it's not all going to be on the mountaintop. There's going to be some suffering. There's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some contention. There's going to be some challenges. And the God that was with me in those low times was with me in the high times, is with me in the low times. Amen. Now, what does all that mean? Verse number 12 says that you would walk worthy of God. He said, here's the goal. Are you walking worthy of God? Am I? So I'm pleased with me. That's not the question. I didn't ask you, was you walking worthy of you? Or even the preacher? Or am I walking worthy of me, or even you, the congregation? Are we walking worthy of God? Because God is the judge. Amen. That you might walk worthy of God who hath called us into his kingdom and glory. Now, how are we going to do that, preacher? How are we going to make all this applicable in my life? Would you give me about a minute? We'll come back here next week. But I want you to look at verse 13. I didn't get there like I wanted to, but that's all right. I preach what I believe God wanted me to. Verse 13 is the key. For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received... Now, here's what I'd like for you to do. If you write in your Bible, underline the word received, the word of God, which you heard of us. You received, it's used twice. Go home, look in your concordance, you'll find two different words here. The first word is you received, which simply means that you accepted it into your ear. But the second word received is you welcomed it in your heart to obey. Go home and look at it. Very interesting how Paul, how he used this, and he said, you know what? This was the key. It started out in chapter 1, verse 6 with receiving the word so that you could become elect, so you could become saved. But now if you're going to continue in this work and you're going to succeed in your Christian experience and you're going to be walking worthy of God, you're going to have to receive the word. Just keep receiving it. Just keep taking it in and keep allowing it to get in your heart and to come out of your life. All right? Receive. Are you receiving the word? Are you? You say, well, I hear the word. Now, wait a minute now. Now, that's not what it said. There's two types of receive here. The first receive is in the ear. It is hearing. Are you doing that? Is that where it ends? I don't know. I'm asking you to ask yourself. Is that where it ends with you? That you just hear it in your ear and then just go and do what you want to? There's a lot of people who don't have confidence in the Word of God. They have copy, but not confidence. I don't know if that's you or not. I don't know who it is. I think you could tell a little bit about just watching what people do. You shall know a tree by the fruit it bears. They receive the word. Not as it were the word of men. Mm-mm. The word of God. And they did it. It effectually began to work. Do you know God's word works? Do you really believe that? Sure, you have to. Because it worked in getting you saved. Let's all stand. Did you know the same God that went to work, the same Word of God that went to work in your heart and my heart to get us saved, is the same Word of God, now listen to me now, that'll change our lives. You say, preacher, I got a bad temper, and I just can't seem to get victory over it. You're not receiving the Word. The Word of God can give you victory over your temper. Is that right? Preacher, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with pornography. Did you know the same Word of God that saved you will give you victory over pornography? Did you know that? Preacher, I struggle. I do drugs. I drink alcohol regularly. And I just feel like it's got a grip on me. Did you know the same Word of God that saved you, if you will put it to work in your heart by faith, will deliver you from that? Amen. We've quit believing the Bible. Oh, we say we do with our mouth, just like we hear it in our ear, but it's just not making its way into our hearts. And we're living defeated, subnormal Christian experiences that God never intended for us to live. And it's all because the Word of God is not being practiced. The Word of God works. There's been times in my life that I thought knowing the Word of God was enough. And I'm still apt to do that. Well, I know this, and I know. Yeah. But what am I doing with what I know? Am I applying it? Am I allowing God's Word to work it out? Are you? Are you? Are we? The only way that we're going to be what God wants us to be. Paul said, I went through all this when I came into Thessalonica, not just so I could get you saved, but so you would get saved to walk a walk worthy of God. Let's bow our heads together. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? You say, well, I think so. I prayed one time. Well, that doesn't make you saved. Have you received Jesus as your personal Savior by faith? Have you trusted His death, burial, and resurrection? If you have and you're saved, that's a wonderful thing, and I thank God for that. But now I wonder this. Are you receiving the Word of God into your heart? Obey.